Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this time, Lord. Lord, you are so precious in our sight. Lord, everything that we need is in you, Lord God. And so we are humbled by this opportunity to explore, Lord God, the riches of your glory. We ask you, Lord, this morning to speak to our hearts. We ask you this morning, Lord, to heal our bodies. We ask you, Lord, this morning to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. We pray, Lord God, that not one of us would leave here the same way that we came in, Lord God. We encounter many difficulties in this life, Lord God, and challenges in this life, Lord God. And some of these things, Lord God, threaten to separate us from you, Lord God. But your word says that nothing shall ever separate us from your love. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for this time, Lord, of just checking the connection, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm just reminded, Lord, of calling in, Lord, technical support for my internet. And one of the things they always do is make sure the connection, just check the connection. It sounds like a dumb question, Lord God, but if it's not connected, we can't ever get the benefit of what the connection provides. Hallelujah. And so we thank you, Lord God, for a time of reconnecting and checking the connection. And we thank you, Father, for solid connections. And we ask you, Lord God, to give me revelation knowledge to share with your people this morning. We give you and you alone all of the glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. You can be seated in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Miss Gohoroshite. I guess I'll start there. Can you turn in your Bibles? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Thank you, Lord. Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 24. Verse 24 says, Exodus 20, 24. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And this is God speaking to the children of Israel, and they've just been delivered from Egypt. And one of the first things God talks to them about is building an altar. Building an altar. And he says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. You know, it's never lost on me that when God asks them to do something, the detail he gives them. He didn't just say build an altar, make it out of whatever you want, make it out of. He told them exactly what to build the altar out of. And he told them the purpose of the altar and the purpose of this altar. You're building it unto me. This isn't for all of the people that you worship with. This is for me. And even though everybody comes here, this is for me. Build an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings. The burnt offering is the offering of dedication. And so that's the offering that says, Lord, I commit myself to you. And so he said, build this altar. And he said, now you're going to sacrifice, you're going to make a sacrifice of dedication and devotion. The burnt offering was given twice a day. They gave burnt offering in the morning, and they gave burnt offering in the evening. You know, sometimes we need offering in the evening to remind ourselves of the God we committed ourselves to that morning. Amen. Amen. When we've gone through a very difficult day and trying times, and we've had run-ins with different people, and we've had different things try to change us permanently because of the trauma. I found that people that go through trauma have very significant injuries, and some of them spend a lifetime trying to get over those injuries. Amen. And because of some of the trauma, sometimes we sin. Because I've been hurt and you happen to touch that spot that hurts, I'll hurt you. But see, you weren't even the cause of the injury and didn't intend anything. But it's just because of that history of abuse, because of that history of pain, because of that history of suffering, because of that history of trauma. When you get to that place and you speak to me, it touches a place in my heart that's sensitive. And sometimes I may say something or I may respond sharply, and it is for me a sin. And God said on the altar, offer your peace offering. In other words, make peace with him. Amen. Because anytime I offend you, I really offend him. Right? Come on, y'all ain't saying amen good enough. Anybody have children in here? If I offend your children, come on. You step right up and say, excuse me? Excuse me. We had a situation here that only happened one time, but we had a lady come up front after service. And she told my wife, she started speaking out of line to my wife. And I actually was talking to somebody on the other side, and I heard her say, and I said, excuse me. And I stepped between her and my wife. Because if you offend my wife, you are offending me. And I said, just hold it, because I know my wife got plenty to say. Honestly, don't need no help. But I just thought this was a situation that I should address. And I told the lady, I said, if you can't have any more respect than this for my wife, you're not welcome here. Goodbye. That's it. I don't need to, you know, go through a lot. You got to go. You got to go. But anyway, the thing was, she offended my wife. That's offending me. It was personal to me. And God said, well, when you offend one of my children, you offend me. And he said, but you can come to me and make a peace offering. Come to me and make a peace offering where? At the altar. See, this altar was the center of worship for the people. And the altar is the connection between the natural and the spiritual. Let me show you. He said, sacrifice thereon burnt offerings and peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen in the place where I record my name. And look, he said, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. So when I come to the altar in the morning and dedicate myself to him, let me give you another word. Surrender. Surrender. When I come to the altar and I surrender myself, he said, I will come to you there. And I'm going to bless you right there. Amen. So his blessing is spiritual. And so the altar and the sacrifice made on the altar was the bridge between the natural and the spirit. And he said, now when you come to the altar and you make your sacrifice there, he said, I'll come to you. And I will bless you. And that's so very important. And so the altar is a place of worship. It's a place of worship. Now, so, for most people, worship is the slow songs that we sing at the beginning. It has become common to call them worship songs. And there's nothing wrong with that title, except that it causes some people to have a very shallow understanding of what worship is. Amen. Amen. Now, this is important. Because when you find out what worship is, you'll find him. Amen. Amen. And he'll bless you. He promised that. He promised that. So look at Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 8. This is the temptation of Jesus. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, or the beauty of them, or the splendor, the brightness, that things that it shows you the things that makes them desirable. If I said, I'm going to show you a diamond and the glory of it, that's how they do it in the jewelry store where they put it under them special lights and they go, they clean it off first and then they put it under that special light and you see the glory of it. You see it sparkle right before you. And it makes it desirable to you. And so the devil is saying, I'm going to show you the glory of all the kingdoms of this world. I can't wrap my mind around the fact that he's taking the kingdoms of this world and trying to show the one that made them what's special about them. It doesn't even make sense, but that's what he did. All right, so he take them in a seating high mountain, and he showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now, let me just stop for a minute because something's taking place here, and you need to understand that this something happened in the spirit. Jesus had to see this in the spirit. You can't see from right here. I can't show you all the kingdoms of this world. Right? All right, so, but now if I take you over into another realm where you can see across the world, that had to be what happened. And so he showed him in the world. All right? Verse number 9. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world, excuse me. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. If I will fall down and worship me. So I saw something here. The devil wants to steal your worship. He wants to show you a picture of the world, a picture of something God has made, and he wants to use that to cause you to fall down in front of him. So he wants to try to take the created thing and cause you to stop worshiping the creator. Or in the context of what I'm talking about today, he wants to stop you from going to the altar, making daily sacrifices, saying, Lord, I'm devoted to you. I want you to notice that even the devil knows a thing or two about worship. He said, I want you to fall down and worship me. Now, all of the different Hebrew words that are translated worship, all of them have to do with a posture of the body. And in this one, he says, I want you to fall down and worship me. And so he understands that kind of bowing, that kind of posture is one that is reserved for God and God alone. And he is not lost on him that God said, now listen, back in Exodus, God said, now if you come here to the altar and make your sacrifice, he said, I'll meet you there and I'll do what? I'll bless you. What did he say? If you fall down and worship me, I will bless you, is what he's saying. I'm going to give you something. And he wants you to place a value on it that you should only have for what God gives you. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it's written. Look at what Jesus says. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So from this statement, we can begin to define what worship is, right? Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Well, how are you going to worship him? Fall down in front of him. In other words, I recognize the depths of my lack and insufficiency and the abundance of his blessing and supply. And once I recognize the power and beauty that I'm standing in front of and the depths of need that I have, I just fall down at the altar and worship him. Now, don't miss the fact that in every church, they call the place that we preach from the altar. They call it the altar. And in our worship services, we have neglected the sacrifice at the altar. Nor have we helped each other to understand what it means. See, it means something to come to the altar. It was one of the first things that God told them to create was a place where we can come and surrender ourselves before you. And so the first part of the definition of worship is surrender. Surrender. You know what surrender is. Come on. Yeah, all of that. All of that. But see, the thing about that is, the reason we say that is because when we surrender, typically somebody has exerted force and showed that I'll beat you down. But God doesn't, that's not what God does. That's not what God does. God offers presence and blessing. Remember Exodus? He said, I'll meet you at that place where you surrender. And what else? I'll bless you. So this surrender doesn't mean that I'm scared of you. This surrender means I ain't never seen nobody like this that I don't have to be scared of, that has this much power, that has this much wisdom, that has this much authority. I never seen nobody who would just let me come and surrender and bow down, and he would share it with me. You know, that's the other thing about all of that, all of those uncle and all of that stuff. They don't share nothing. They want to take what you got. And I believe the only reason that God asked for a lamb or God asked for a ram is that if you didn't bring nothing, there wouldn't be an expression of your heart. See, what I bring to the altar expresses my heart. It's an expression of my heart. Yeah. So it's a different kind of surrender. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Listen, and him only shalt thou what? Serve. This has almost become a bad word. But Jesus said, this is a part of worship. You worship him and you do serve him. Let me help you understand. When I wave the flag of surrender, I'm dedicating myself to him. When I serve him, I am causing myself to walk in this and to grow and develop. That's it. It's development for me. It's development for me. It's development for me. So I give him a gift at the altar, and then I leave the altar, and to help myself remember who it is I devoted myself to, I serve him. I serve him. That's my worship. Now, all of this is done so that I can expose my heart to him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to John chapter 4. John chapter number 4. Oh, man. I don't know how much of this I want to. Well, let's just do this. Let's go to, I'm going to start at verse number 4. Verse number 4. Thank you, Lord. Verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. So in verse 3 it says Jesus was going to Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. So in order to get where he was going, he had to go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Glory to God. What's that? About noon. So at noon, they had already been traveling long enough for him to be wearied in his journey. All right. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I see so much. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said unto him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers. Now watch this. This is what I wanted to get to. I had to keep myself from going off track because there were so many other things that I saw. Well, let me just say this thing. Sometimes when you serve him, you will encounter people that normally you have no dealings with. The scripture said that the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. Normally. But today, this Jew is offering you living water. So sometimes when you serve the Lord, you'll encounter people that you normally would not have any dealings with. All right, now let's start at verse number 20 and watch this. And we've been talking about worship today and coming to the altar, right? Okay, watch how many times you see worship in the next few verses. Verse 20 says, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And ye say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to. Verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22, ye, you know not what. You worship and you don't even know what you're worshiping. But it's fascinating to me that as soon as she understood that Jesus had some spiritual insight because he told her about her life, she asked him about worship. Listen, everybody wants to worship. Everybody wants something for which they can dedicate themselves and give themselves wholly. And so that was the first question she asked him. Jesus said, you worship, you don't even know what you worship. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23. But the hour cometh. Jesus said, things about to change. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. I love this. Because in the verse before, he said, you worship, you don't know what you worship. We worship, and we know what we worship because salvation is of the Jews. But neither one of those is the kind of worship God been looking for. Because when we worship, we know who we worship, but we still bring in sheep and oxen, and we bring in the hurt ones and the lame ones and the ones that's not worth much. When God wants true worship, God does not want just somebody to walk to the altar and to throw something up there just to fulfill a responsibility. God wants some real devotion. God wants some real commitment. God wants some real surrender, and God wants some real service. Because even people that serve God can get into the habit of just giving him the least that they can. They lose the idea that, man, what I'm doing right here, right now, is connecting me to heaven. And God said he's going to meet me. And I don't want God to come and meet me at the altar and see some trash that I threw up there, some half-hearted service, some half-hearted singing, some half-hearted, getting here when I can stuff. I want God to see my best on the altar. Because he said he's going to meet me there and he's going to bless me. And I cannot give him honor that in any way offends him. I can't do that. So he said, now, he said, we got all kind of worship going on. Y'all don't know what y'all worshiping. We know what we worshiping because salvation is of the Jews. And, you know, we worshiping in a place. We got to be in this place. But he said, hey, there's a time coming where the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. The true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. When in spirit, remember, we are spirit, right? First Thessalonians, I think 5:23 says, I pray God my whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. My whole spirit and soul and body. Listen, we are spirit. Because God is spirit. We're about to see that right here. We are spirit. God said, I'm going to make man in my image and after my likeness. I'm going to make man in my image and after my likeness. Well, what's like him? Spirit. So we are a spirit. We are not a body. We live in this body. Right? The scripture says to be absent from the is to be present. Whoa. Wait a minute. If I was a body and I was absent from the body, then I wouldn't be present nowhere. And we need to understand this so that we get a better picture of what happens when somebody transitions. Because it's a transition. Come here. It's what?
It's a transition. Come, y'all know about transition, right? They got these transition lenses. So transition means you went from the outside in the sun and you went to the inside and the lenses changed. The atmosphere is different. And so when we transition, we go from the inside and we come to the outside in the heavenly, in the presence of Almighty God. We got to comprehend that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you not do that right now, please? That's distracting me right now. Thank you. Glory. Thank you, Lord. So we are spirit. We live in these physical bodies, and we have a soul. Hey, the scripture says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So my soul is not me. If I can lose my soul, it's not me. My soul is my mind, my will, and my emotions. So that is a part of me. But think about it. Think about it. Now, what happens if I make my transition and I get into the light? Or excuse me, I'm talking about losing your soul. You go into the darkness. And you lose your ability to have a will or to make choices. You lose your ability to think and reason, and you lose your ability to feel. You're experiencing stuff, but you can't make no choice. You're experiencing stuff, but you have lost your reason. You know what we call people that lose their reason? What they call them? You can't use your, you done lost your mind. And so I believe that people that when they transition have not made their peace with God and transition to the other place. I believe that it is a place of lost souls, where people are there and they are aware of everything that's happening to them, but they are unable to respond to it with any intelligence or to make any choice about it. Yeah. All right. I don't even know why I'm over there. All right, so we are spirit. We are spirit. And so if I worship God in spirit, the real me worships. Amen. The real me worships. Well, I wonder what happened if the real me worships. I wonder what kind of worship that will be. The real me, the spirit man, that part of me that understands God and that part of me that loves God, if I can worship from that place, do you think it's going to change the way I worship and surrender? Absolutely. Absolutely. But see, our God tells us that there is an adversary, and we saw he wants to steal your worship. And if he can't make you worship him, at least he can stop you from worshiping God. Let me put that another way. If he can't make you worship him and bow down before him, he can try to stop your amen. I thought I would get more amens than that right there. If he can stop your amen, if he can just keep your heart in a position where you won't quite open it up and you won't quite let go and allow your spirit to worship God, he can just try to stop your amen. Remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus came back after he went and prayed, and he came back after an hour. He went and prayed an hour, came back after an hour. And he said, what, Peter, James, Peter, I brought y'all with me to pray. Couldn't you pray an hour? He said something fascinating. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Look, what's willing?
The spirit.
But what's weak? And so then when they didn't pray, or excuse me, when they didn't say amen, they gave in to the weakness of the flesh. What is that? Why is it that my spirit, my willing spirit, isn't in the place it should be? That's the purpose of those daily offerings. See, when I'm giving offerings two or three times daily, every time I come to the altar, it forces me to deal with myself. Say, I'm willing, I'm here right now, Lord. I'm messed up. I need to make peace with you right now. So here's my peace offering. Lord, I'm here tonight. Because I'm dedicated to you and I love nothing the way that I love you. And so, Lord, even though I had company at the house, either they came with me or they sitting there waiting, but I had to come and acknowledge you right now. It continues to develop me. Every time I come, all right, let me get through this. But the hour cometh, Jesus said, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Nothing hindering your amen. You have quieted the sound of your flesh. I want you to notice, what did they do? When Jesus came back and said, could you not pray with me 1 hour? Why? He say that? They were asleep. How many folk come to church? I'm not saying that to embarrass anybody. But here's what I'm saying. Your amen is being silenced. You're supposed to be at the altar saying, Lord, I'm dedicated to you. This ain't the time for sleep. The time for sleep is coming, but sleep will not dominate me. My heart longs for you. As in a dry and thirsty land, Lord God, where no water is. That's how much I want you. To see your power and your glory. Lord, I want to see all your splendor. Everything that makes you you and makes you desirable. I want to see it all, Lord God. And I refuse to allow my lack of sleep to get advantage of me. I had a friend that went to ministry school with me that worked midnights. So when our classes met at 8 o'clock in the morning, They was just getting off work after working all night long. And every time they sat down, you know what their body wanted to do? Go to sleep. And if they would have sat there, their body would have gone to sleep. So she used to get up, get in the corner of the room, in the back, and stand up. Stand up and read. Stand up and listen to the lecture. Stand up for everything that we did. She stood up in the back to make sure that nothing would prevent her from getting the blessing that the Lord wanted her to have for coming to the altar. And see, you got to have some spiritual understanding to anticipate that blessing, because some people come and they begin to expect nothing. But you should say, Lord, I remember what you said to your children, Israel. You told them two things. You said you'd meet them there and you would bless them. So, Lord, first of all, I want to meet you here this morning. I want to meet you here. Lord, I want to know your embrace, Lord God. I hear the prophets of God say the hand of the Lord was upon me. I want to know what that's like, Lord God, to have your hand on me, Lord. I want to know your touch, your embrace. I want to know your caress, Lord God. I want to know the security of your presence, Lord. I want to know, Lord God, why Moses said, if you don't go with me, I'd rather stay here in Egypt. Jesus said there was true worshipers that would be able to unlock the willingness of their spirit. Yeah. But see, you don't get there from giving in to your flesh all the time. You don't get there from eating as much as you want. You don't get there from sleeping as much as you want. You don't get there from always allowing yourself, if there's any discomfort, to escape. Sometimes you have to push through the discomfort. And that's what they needed to do. Jesus said, he said, pray with me. Are you kidding? Pray with Jesus? And you sleep I can't even imagine Jesus Christ. He's in there praying, talking to the Father, being tormented by what's coming for him to save my little narrow behind. And I'm asleep. So that night, the way that they can serve him is in prayers. Sometimes you serve him in prayers. You don't know what he's going through. But I want to be there with him. And so, Father, I'm here at the altar today because my Savior and Lord is praying right now. And I don't know what he needs, Lord God, to help him in whatever he's dealing with right now. But I want him to know that I got a supply in the Spirit and I'm coming before you and I stand with him. Some of us don't know how to do that for our spouses. And if there's anybody you need to pray for, it's your spouse. Amen. Because they live with you. All right. Everybody didn't think that was funny. Some folk, let me come over here. These people laughing over here. Some folk over there looked at me. Amen. You know, there are, I don't need to take that journey. Okay, just real quick, because I know people don't like that. Why you say something then if you ain't going to tell us? So let me just say real quickly, there are a lot of things about me that I didn't recognize without my wife. She helped me to see parts of me that ain't so pretty. And I love her because she still accepts me. She didn't think, oh, that's ugly. I'm getting away from you. She loved me anyway. And prays for me. She got a long list. Anyway, let me get away from that. Jesus said, the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit. In other words, they'll get past that weakness of the flesh and they'll come to that willingness of the spirit. You know, when you really get to your spirit, it's easy. You want to worship. Once God break through all of them, you want to worship. If you look at people, when God appeared to people in the Bible, they all fell down. They all, oh, Lord, that's Jesus. Good Lord. Man, people fall down. It's so easy. Everybody really wants to worship. That's why this woman, listen, this woman who wasn't living right, who didn't deserve to even talk to Jesus, the first thing she asked him about was worship. And now, notice, Jesus didn't say, what you want to know about worship for? You need to get your life right. All right, that's another story. All right, must worship, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay, let me get to the truth part. For it says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Remember, now we're still talking about the word worship all the way through this. This lady started out talking about some water. And they got into worship. But notice, God is looking for people who can get through all the mess and open up their hearts and come to the altar and really surrender. He's looking for them people. The Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, so in truth. In truth. The scripture says, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So the word is truth. Now, the scripture also tells us that Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. And so I believe when it says worship the Father in spirit and in truth, I believe that Holy Spirit gives us a revelation that connects our heart with the truth. I remember one day during praise and worship, I was waiting while the praise team sang, and we were singing, Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing, power and majesty, praise to the King. Power and majesty, praise the King. Mountains bow down in the seashore at the sound of your name. Anyway, the part that I want to get to was this. I give you praise for the works of your hands. I sing for joy. Thank you. Thank you. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. And I got to that part, And just on the inside, I heard, you are the works of his hand. And I just started to weep. I just started to weep when I thought about the scripture that says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Father, I sing for joy at the works of your hand. Forever I love you. Forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. And I just started to weep by that. See, Holy Spirit then revealed truth to me that I'm the works of his hand. And it connected my heart. And my heart was humbled by the fact that I'm the work of his hand. And so I thank you, Lord God, for what you've created me to be. And so Holy Spirit then will help you from the revelation of truth to connect your heart so that you can worship him. And he's seeking them. All right, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must, not can, not should. Do you see how strong that is? He said, there's only one way. You know, there are a lot of people today that try to come up with alternatives. God doesn't do that. He don't give us alternatives. Jesus is the way. Not a way. Jesus is the way. There are certain religions and certain cults that translate that a way. I remember talking to a young man and just sharing the gospel with him, and I shared that scripture, and he said it says a way. I said, no, he says he is the way. And he opened his Bible, and sure enough, it said a way. I said, you need to throw that Bible away. Because even if he is a way, you can't disrespect a way to get to God. You have to have the same kind of reference for him. And in this particular church, their whole objective is somehow to diminish the importance of Jesus. And if he is a way, you can't diminish the importance of that. Can I get an amen? Somebody out here this morning. All right. So God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so here's I did all of this to say, we have to learn to allow the altar to be our place of connection with the Spirit of God. And this is a place that we call the altar, but you know the real New Testament altar is my heart. Because that's the place that bridges the gap between the natural and the spirit. This is the place where I make my peace offering and say, Lord, I repent. And every time I repent, that's my peace offering with the Lord. I want things to be right with you, Lord. So I turn away from whatever I said, whatever I did, wherever I went, Lord, I turn away from that, Lord God, and I turn myself back to you and your place of worship and honor. That's the atmosphere of my heart. Amen. Yeah. So it's important for us to make sure daily that we bring our offerings. Daily that we make our sacrifice. So that the weakness of the flesh is never the rule of our lives. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compared to the promise I have in you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory is combo di iki o raneke shada la bako heke stegi le mosata. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord God. Lord, our time of fasting for some of us has been a time of overcoming the weakness of the flesh. For others of us, Lord God, fasting has always been difficult because of the weakness of our flesh. Lord, we don't want anything to prevent us, Lord God, from being able to operate in the Spirit. For the ones that worship you must worship you in spirit. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that this morning, Lord, it is a time of tapping in and reconnecting our spirit so that we can shout with everything that's in us, Lord God. Make us sokol. Let every breath and all that we have never cease to worship, never cease to surrender, never cease to serve you, Lord God. Megadon rekished mograsalabakodo. Hey, we shout hallelujah to the Lord. Father, some of us must needs repent. For it's been some time since we've been to the altar. It's been some time since the altar was open. And Lord, for some of us, it's like Elijah and the prophets of Baal, Lord God. The scripture says he built up the altars that were broken down. For some of us, Lord, it's been so long and there's been no attention given to the altar of our heart, and some of them are broken down. But Father, we thank you, Lord God, our altars are being restored this morning, Lord God, that our hearts are being refreshed. That our praises is coming back, Lord God, that we're getting our shout back, Lord God, that every breath, that all that we have will never cease to worship you. We are so honored, Lord God, that you said you would meet us here. So we're giving you our best this morning, Lord God. We need a meeting, Lord God, that takes us through this week. We need a meeting, Lord God, that takes us through this day. We need a meeting, Lord God, that strengthens us for this hour. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for restoring us, Lord. Megesokradishe. Receive our peace offerings, Lord God, and our offerings of dedication this morning. Father, we pray, Lord God, that as we serve you, Lord God, as we find ways to serve you, Lord God, whether it be in the church, Lord God, or whether it be on our jobs in the community, Lord God, or whether it, all of that the same, we give ourselves to all of those things the same, Lord God. We pray that our service to you is acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Kishe paka ofro akeshtide. And we thank you, Lord God, that we will never allow the weakness of our flesh, Lord God, the discomfort of our flesh to prevent us from worship, from praying, Lord God. Never prevent us, because really, Lord God, the target of that kind of attitude is to keep me from enjoying your presence, because you said you would meet me, Lord God, there. And so the purpose of the devil is to keep me from enjoying the meeting and the blessing and the comfort and the strengthening and the courage of your presence, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we see some things clearly now, some things we haven't understood in the past. We just thought we was tired. No! No!